young people, and Brother Jason, come read Scripture for us.
Turn your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I don't know about you. I don't want to go to a church where God isn't there. And I praise the Lord that He is here this morning in this building. I'm so thankful for the and so thankful for the lives behind all those that serve here in this ministry. Just such a such an honor to be able to work here and just with the families and with these young men and just thinking about them as a they were singing. Only had a year of teaching with them. Man, you come here, and I came and answered the call of Christ this year to come and work here, and you think you're going to put an influence on them, and then they turn around and influence you. And man, I'm so thankful for that, and so thankful that God's able to use them, and looking forward, man, to what God has in their lives. Luke chapter 4, verse 20 and verse 21. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for the service already. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've come here this morning. And Lord, we come to the time of service, Lord God, where it's so important for someone, Lord, here that has not chosen the Lord as their personal Savior, Lord God, that this will be the time, Lord, as the message is preached, the invitation is given, God, that, Lord, it's not a perfect life. It's not an easy life all the time, but, Lord God, it's the only way to live. And Dad would say that so many times. And, God, I thank you for this place. I can't thank you enough for all it's meant to me and now my family. And, Lord, I just pray that, God, your hand would be upon those, Lord, as I saw the young men, Lord, that will be going off to college even this week. God, may your hand be upon them, Lord God, as they search out and seek to find what you have for them. And then, Lord, as those coming behind, Lord, I pray they would do the same. God, we thank you for this place, Lord. I'm always excited to be in your house. What a great place to be, Lord. I'm excited about the message to come, Lord, and to hear more from you. God, be with us this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
And good, thank you, Brother Jason. And man, appreciate all the music this morning, and appreciate the choir.
This is Antic with a special, and then Alicia, one of our college students, will be going back here soon. Thank you for the offertory, and then the young people with the song. Man, so glad you're here this morning. I can't get into the message before mentioning. Great to have not only my favorite older sister, because it's the only older sister I have, but the best older sister in the world. I mean, she's always been so good to me, and just appreciate Tracy. And we have Haley, and I won't take a long time with this, all right? But for the last time, we have Cassie Brewer. Yeah, so that name's going to change here in just a couple months, and she's getting married in January. So anyway, but great to have them in. Always wonderful to see them up here from South Carolina, so I'm glad they're here this morning. Luke chapter 4, and we talked last week about the beginning of Luke chapter 4 and dealing with temptation. On our theme this year has been the Word of God and living by the Word of God. I want to continue that this morning and build on what we talked about last week. Last week, Jesus used the Word of God to fight temptation. I told him in Sunday school, I'm not going to touch base with everybody, but I would imagine you probably face some temptation this week. And we talked about last week how to fight that temptation through the Word of God. Jesus used and quoted God's Word to fight specifically against temptation. And it's interesting here as we go a little further along in chapter 4, now a little different, more subtle kind of temptation comes for Jesus. And so the devil's tempted him here in the first part of chapter 4. But look at verse number 14 as we'll set up what we're talking about today. It says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Jesus began to perform miracles, this word started to spread around the area. And it says there was a fame that came. And, you know, sometimes we'll be tempted to do things that are wrong, and Satan uses that, and he can't get to us. But then, what do we use? He'll use our pride. He'll use popularity. He'll use those type of things to try to get us away from what we're supposed to do. And so here, Jesus becomes very well known in a very short period of time because of some of the things that he's accomplished. And, of course, it says in verse number 15, he taught also. So what he's teaching, those things, being glorified of all those that are hearing him are excited about what he's teaching and preaching. And the Bible says in verse 16, he comes to Nazareth. He goes back to where he grew up. And we know he's born in Bethlehem, but he spent his childhood years, even his teenage years, as best we know, even his young adult years, in Nazareth. And so the people of Nazareth, they are very familiar with Jesus. They knew his family. They knew where he lived. They knew all about him, as best we can tell. We don't know for sure, but in historically, it seems like Nazareth was a very sort of smaller town, not a big area. So somewhere when he went back there, everyone knew who he was, and also there's this sort of, I'm sure, sort of a buildup of, hey, here he comes back. This man that's gone out and become somewhat famous for what he's done is now coming back to Nazareth. And so he does in verse number 16. It says he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So Jesus, as his custom was, he was used to being in the house of God. By the way, if Jesus, and when we say needed, we know that Jesus was God. Jesus didn't need anything as we do. But if it was important for Jesus to be in the house of God, surely it's important for us to be, right? And so Jesus was faithful to the house of God. He went to God's house, and he's there at the synagogue. And he takes, and the Bible says that he takes what they give him. Look at verse number 17. He stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So they give him the word of God, the Old Testament they had. And he opens that, and it begins to read, verse number 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because, let me pull these out, I'm halfway through here. Because, verse 18, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. You know, as I read Scripture, and this is true, especially in the Gospel for me, and you read the story of Jesus' life, and there's different instances. Man, you think back, and I'm so glad that God put me here on earth when he did. But you look at some of those things, some of the miracles that Jesus did, and say, man, wouldn't it have been wonderful to be in the crowd, you know, when he fed the 5,000, or to be on the ship. I don't know how exciting it would have been when the wind was blowing, but to see Jesus calm the storm, be with those disciples there, and the things they got. But, you know, man, I think this would have been, man, so wonderful to be at, to see Jesus, who is the Word of God, publicly open the Word of God and read the Word of God with authority. You know, the Bible says when he got done, all eyes were fastened on him. There was no, look, it's not like this morning. Nobody was sleeping, all right? Nobody was dozing off. No, everybody was looking at Jesus as he read. And as he read these words from the Old Testament that applied to him. And so he's reading about himself from the Old Testament, from Isaiah. So he reads the Bible. He sat down. And they're all fastened on him. They're all looking at him. And we don't know. I don't know for sure. The Bible doesn't really tell us if it was something where, you know, normally he would read and sit down and not say anything, whoever was the one that would read for that service or what. But either way, they're just sort of anticipating and waiting. And look at verse 21. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Can you imagine that? And those that believed on Christ, and they have been waiting for that day when the Messiah would come, and they hear him say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. You know, I want to give you just a couple things this morning. As Jesus took the Word of God and opened God's Word, and he can teach us something as we try to say, well, how do we live? We talk about living by the Word of God, and we're supposed to do that. But what does that mean? And we talked about last week, something practical for you. Hey, use the Word of God to fight temptation. I want to give you a couple other things this week as we live by His Word. Number one is this. We should live by the promises of the Word of God. You should live daily by the promises of the Word of God. What Jesus did, He got up and He read a promise from the book of Isaiah. And that promise from several hundred years before, Jesus got up and began to tell them. And by the way, let's look at what this promise was. And as we look at verse number 18, He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me." You know, this morning, the promises of God and the Word of God, this book is a personal book. It's not just for, we open the Word of God and what we'll talk about this morning, it applies to everybody. Well, sure. But let me tell you, the Word of God is important for you personally. I mean, it's a personal book. And so as Jesus reading this, the Bible says, upon me, in the first part of verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This morning, if you're saved, the Bible tells us there's the Holy Spirit in each of us. Hey, we each have the power of the Holy Spirit available to us. The Holy Spirit, when we're saved, comes in and lives within us. And so that power of the Holy Spirit is there. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Go to John chapter 14. Hold your place. We'll be back in Luke chapter 4. Go to John chapter 14. Jesus speaks about this while He's here on earth, and He gives a promise of what's going to happen when He leaves. He says, hey, when I go, one day, in the beginning of chapter 14, He's talking about when He'll be gone and preparing a place for us. But He says, when that happens, let me tell you what my promise for you is. In verse number 16 of John 14. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. He says, when I go, there's going to be the Holy Spirit there that will abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, listen, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That says directly from Jesus saying, hey, listen, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit will dwell in you. If you're not saved, you don't know about this. Then that Holy Spirit is there. And He says, when I leave, that Holy Spirit will come. That was a promise from God that has been fulfilled. But it's a personal. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Go to, you're there in John chapter 14, look at verse number 26. Not only will the Holy Spirit abide with you, says it won't leave, it'll stay with you. But look at John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. So not only will the Holy Spirit be with you, abide with you, it also will teach you. It will teach you. The Holy Spirit teaches us what? The words of the Lord, the Word of God. Then go to chapter 16. Go to chapter 16 of John. John chapter 16. Look at verse number 13. It says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Hey, the Holy Spirit will abide with you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. Hey, the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, is upon me. This morning, if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God in you that can abide with you, that can teach you, that can guide you daily as you try to live for God. And so Jesus said, hey, this Holy Spirit is upon me. The power of the Spirit is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Back to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Not only is the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, but then secondly, He says there, because, in verse 18, because He hath anointed me. You know, this morning, those that are saved, we've been chosen, we've been anointed by God. Go to, hold your place there again, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse y'all have heard, I'm sure, many times before. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. In fact, if you back up just a little bit, you can see in verse number 2, it's talking about newborn babes, those who are saved in Christ. In verse number 7, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious, those who have trusted Christ. That's what it's talking to, those that are saved. So we jump down to verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, we've been chosen by God to show forth what he's done for us to those that haven't heard of Christ. And so just as Jesus said, hey, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. God has anointed me. Same thing is true for us. Back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And then also it says he hath sent me. You know, this morning, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you. God has given you the power of the Holy Spirit. He also has anointed you. He's chosen you to do something for him. And then he sent us out. And you don't have to turn there for time's sake. But as you're there in Luke chapter 4, I'll read you John chapter 20 and verse number 21. As Jesus speaking to his disciples after the resurrection, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Jesus sends out those that have been given him as his Father sent him. So it's personal promises here in verse number 18 of Luke chapter 4. There was something God had specifically for Jesus. And by the way, there's something God has specifically for you this morning. I can tell you this, if you're not saved, the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Everyone needs to get, his call on your life is to get saved first. But once you're saved, he has something, just as he had something for Christ to do, he has something for you to do as well. And so the promises are personal. And then also in Luke chapter 4, we read verse 21. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. The promises of God, we live by the promises of the Word of God. Those promises are personal, they're for us. And understand this, his promises are fulfilled. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. You know, for every promise of God in the Word of God, there is a this day. Some of those this days have already come. Hey, those prophecies from the Old Testament about the birth of Christ, where he's going to be born, all the signs that were there ahead of time, those this days have already come. There's some promises from the Word of God and prophecies from the Word of God that have not yet been fulfilled. And those will. There'll be a day. Hey, you read the book of Revelation. That's coming quickly. There is a this day for all those things that are prophesied of what's going to happen. Let me give you one example. I was listening to a message this week. Go to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. And really it's something we don't talk about a whole lot. In Genesis chapter 50, there's so much in the book of Genesis, and we get to the end of the book of Genesis, and we talk a lot about Joseph. But it's interesting to me, out of all the things that Joseph did for God, the one that is mentioned in the New Testament is actually here at the very end of Genesis chapter 50. Look at the end of the book of Genesis, look at verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Joseph is about to die. But listen, Joseph is so sure, not only of where he's going when he dies, but so sure of the promises of God that he tells some people, he said, listen, let me tell you something, surely, this is going to happen. There's going to come a day where you're going to leave Egypt and go back to the promised land. So that's coming. You know why he knows it's coming? Because God said it was coming. And so he believes the word of God and he says, listen, that day is coming. He says, and when that day comes, I want you to take my bones. He said, listen, Joseph knows before he dies, my body's going to be deteriorated by that point, all right? You don't have to worry. It's not going to be a week from now, 2 weeks from now, or a couple months. No. The only thing that's going to be left is my bones, but when you go, I want you to take my bones with you, because there is going to come a day when that happens. Go to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, and something we talked about not too long ago. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 32. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 32. We're talking about several 100 years later, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. You know what happened? Exactly what God said was going to happen. They went back to Canaan, and they took Joseph's bones with them when they went. And you know what that shows me? The promises of God are always fulfilled. When God gives a promise, it's going to be fulfilled. And in Hebrews chapter 11, they talk about Joseph, not his great acts of faith there in his life, but at the end of his life, the faith that he had that God would fulfill his promises. They live by the promises of the Word of God. And then go back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, look at verse number 22. Luke chapter 4, verse 22. It says, and all bear him witness. So they're all there and they're looking as he says this. And again, one of the many proofs that Jesus was God and was the Son of God is that he claimed to be. I mean, this is something different. You didn't have a lot of people claiming to be the Messiah. And yet Jesus reads this scripture, which they know, these Jews knew their Old Testament. They knew this was talking about the Messiah that would come. And he says, listen, this day it's fulfilled. Verse 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Remember, he's back in Nazareth. And they hear Jesus claiming to be the Messiah. Man, don't, we know this guy. In fact, we won't go there right now, but another passage, it sort of indicates very well could have been that some of his family was in the audience there. Would imagine that probably be the case. They said, man, we know that here's his family, his brothers, his sisters, his family. We know this man. Look at verse 23. And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. You know, Jesus is going to teach them something here, and he speaks in just a short speech here that he gives, but as they begin to doubt what Jesus said, he's going to teach them this. Number one, we talked about live by the promises of the Word of God. Number two, live by the principles of the Word of God. You say, well, what is that? We talk about the principles of the Word of God. Well, look what Jesus does here. What the world wants, understand this morning, what the world wants and what the world's philosophy is and what the world follows is different than what the Bible teaches. It's different. It's not going to be the same. And it doesn't mean that once in a while they can't stumble with something, an accident. No, but I'm telling you, in general, and always without fail, the philosophies of the world, the teachings of the world is going to be different than what the Word of God teaches. And so notice what Jesus does here. He talks about them first in verse 23. He says, you will surely say unto me this proverb. He knows their thoughts. He knows what they're even if they haven't said it out loud. He knows what they're thinking in their mind. He says, what you're saying is this. You're saying, physician, heal yourself. You're saying, whatever you've done somewhere else, let's see you do that here. And by the way, this is not, these people are not sitting around, oh boy, we're just excited to see the show, although that may have been part of it. Hey, entertain us as part of it. But you can tell from the tone of what Jesus is saying, no, this lines up almost exactly with what Jesus just dealt with Satan, when Satan said, hey, jump off and prove who you are. That's what these people are doing. Hey, it's the same thing we talked about last week with the one thief on the cross. Hey, come down from the cross and prove who you really are. This is not somebody who is innocent trying to know. These are people who Jesus says, I can tell what you're thinking. You don't believe. Man, because of your unbelief, you want to challenge me in what I'm doing. There's no faith involved here at all, just these people fueled by their unbelief in Christ who want to see him do something. And so he sees that, understands that what they're trying to do is totally different from what he's trying to accomplish. And he gives us this, and this again, it's something probably is not new to you, but I just, as I'm going through this week, man, just reminded me of this. Live by the principles of the Word of God. You know, Bible principles are illustrated through the stories of the Word of God. You know, we think about it, and we memorize the Word of God, and we should, and we talked about last week what Jesus did. When Jesus fought against temptation, he used specific verses from the Word of God to fight that temptation. And as we live by the Word of God, there's going to be some specific verses that resonate with us, right? We'll hear those verses, and man, those things are a comfort, they're a help, they're a guide, they direct. But also, you know this,
This book is full of stories, not for your entertainment, but to teach us how to live. Hey, we learn Bible principles from the illustrations, from the stories that God gives us in His Word. And so Jesus begins to teach them a principle. What's the principle He's going to teach them? Well, He tells them in verse number 24. He said, "Verily I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." That's the principle He's going to teach them. Hey, a prophet is not accepted in his own country. As he comes back to Nazareth, he knows they're not going to accept him there. And then what does he do? He uses two Bible stories to illustrate and to bring home that Bible principle. And so in passage before, when Satan was tempting him, he went to a specific verse. He doesn't quote verses here. You know what he does? He goes back to a couple stories. And he goes to the two stories. He goes to Elijah first and then Elisha. And he says, hey, you remember, because he knew the story of Elijah. Hey, and Elijah, and God used him in a special way as a prophet of God. But when he didn't have food and he needed food, who was he sent to? He was sent to a widow, not in Israel. No, they wouldn't accept him. But he was sent outside of Israel to Sidon, to a city that was there. And he said, boy, there was all these widows that he could have gone to in Israel. But I want to illustrate to you what happens. His own people wouldn't accept him. And then he uses Elisha as an example. He says, do you not think there was other lepers in the land of Israel that could have been healed? No. But God sent Naaman unto Elisha. And he uses these Bible stories to illustrate the fact, this Bible principle, that those prophets were not accepted in their own country. You know, this morning the stories in the Bible are given to teach us biblical principles. Let me give you a couple examples and then we'll finish up. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Bible gives us stories in the Word of God to teach us principles from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and read several verses here for you. This can be in a negative way, and this is what we have here. Look at chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed to the sea, were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." And so Paul's here writing about what happened to the people of Israel under Moses. Did all eat, verse 3, the same spiritual meat? Did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So they had that same opportunity to do right for the Lord, verse 5. "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters," verse 8, "neither let us commit fornication," verse 9, "neither let us tempt Christ," verse 10, neither murmur ye." Why? Verse 11, "all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition." You know what? We go and study the Old Testament, what happened to people of Israel. The Bible says those are our examples to admonish us not to follow the route they did. And so those are Bible principles. So what do we learn? We learn that we're not supposed to murmur. We're not supposed to complain. That we're not supposed to be idolaters. We're not supposed to commit fornication. Those things, unless we have verses in the Word of God, but we have principles in the Word of God based on the stories of the Word of God that are for our benefit. So we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and realize, hey, that's why God put it there, not just to entertain us, but to teach us Bible principles. We won't turn there for time's sake, but you know what Hebrews 11 is. Hebrews 11 is full of stories of the Old Testament of living by faith, right? Story after story after story to illustrate to us how if we live by faith, God will bless us, God will take care of us, God will work in our lives when we live for Him. Hey, the Word of God, those promises of the Word of God that He's given us, we're supposed to live by those promises. We also live by the principles of the Word of God. Then in closing, let me just, something you already know, but go back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and read one more time, verse number 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Hey, Jesus is reading from the Old Testament this promise from God that the Messiah will come and will preach the gospel to the poor, will heal those that need it, will help all those. And I want you to hold your place there. Go to Luke chapter 7, just a couple chapters up. Luke chapter 7. Chapter 7, look at verse number 19. And John, this John the Baptist, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were coming to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and to many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said to them, Go your way, and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Let me tell you something. We live by the promises of the Word of God, and we live by the principles of the Word of God, because God's promises and principles are always true. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, this is fulfilled today in your eyes. And guess what happened in Luke chapter 7? Guess what's happening? Everything that Isaiah said was happening in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Hey, God's promises are always true, and then God's principles are always true. Look back at Luke chapter 4 one last time, verse 28. You know, they didn't like it when Jesus said, No prophet is out without honor, has honor in his own country. And then Jesus began to illustrate that. And isn't this amazing? These people, oh, what are you talking about? And God gives them this principle that no prophet is without honor. Guess what happens? Look at verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, it doesn't say were convicted, doesn't say that they believed. No, they were filled with wrath. And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Go to Mark chapter 6. Go to Mark chapter 6. Same story in Mark chapter 6. But look at verse number 4. Mark chapter 6, verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. And look what happens, verse 5. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. You know what these people did? They went and they proved the principle of God's word. Hey, God said he's not accepted in his own land. That's what Jesus said, and he used Old Testament illustrations to help reinforce that, and then they went out and proved it. He couldn't even get anything done in Nazareth because they wouldn't honor him in his own country. They proved the principle of the Word of God. Let me tell you this, the promises of God's Word are always true, and the principles of God's Word are always true. You think of all the stories of the Bible, and listen, this week as you go around, it should be, yes, verses that God will bring to mind to you, but also as you're trying to handle something, hey, we don't teach these children about Jonah and the whale and about Noah and the ark and about David and Goliath. Just teach them a story. No, there's Bible principles they get from those stories. Hey, that God's going to be with you. God's going to take care of you. That God will deliver you. That the strength of God can help, man, go through all the different, and also as we talked about the stories of the children of Israel, those negative stories, things they did that go against God. Let me tell you something. You look at the story of Lot, you go ahead and compromise and you see what happens to your children one day, right? Hey, you look at the stories that you go throughout the world. Hey, you look in the New Testament, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And let me tell you something this morning. Hell is real. Lazarus was in heaven, but the Bible says the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes being in torment. Hey, those Bible principles we get from the stories of the Word of God should shape our life day by day. So this week, I want to live by the Word of God, and it's very important to go to God's Word, as we talked about last week, and have specific verses against sin to help you in your life. Hey, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. That's a wonderful, wonderful Bible truth. But let me tell you this. You live by the principles of the Word of God found in the stories given to you in this book. Because I can tell you this, the principles of God's Word are always true. Hey, you live by the promises of God that He's given you in this book, because the promises of God are always true. Are we really living by God's Word? Father, this week, as we go on our separate ways, today, Lord, as we leave this place and we head out into a world that as we'd mentioned, without the Holy Spirit, it's not going to understand the Word of God. Lord, I pray you'd help us to live a life shaped by your Word. Lord, as we make decisions based upon verses in the Word of God, Lord, we use the power, Lord, how powerful your Word is. We use that to fight against temptation, to fight against Satan, to fight against our flesh. Lord, help us also not to lose sight of the fact that you have given. We don't just learn about what happened to those people in your Word just to learn it, Lord. It's because we can use that. And those principles we find, Lord, we can go from story to story throughout the Word of God. Those that are well known, those that aren't as well known, but Lord, they're all there for a purpose. And Lord, I know this, there's no way we're going to be able to live by the principles of the Word of God if we don't know the Word of God. Lord, not just we do want to memorize it, Lord, but if we don't know the truths and the stories and the, and Lord, this book is not the most important book in our lives, then how are we going to make decisions based on it? So I pray that you'd help us to do that. I pray, Lord, there's someone here not saved. Lord, help them to realize their need for you. In Jesus' name. Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed this morning. No one looking around. Let me ask you this morning. This is not necessarily a salvation message, but we did touch on it. Hey, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. That's it. I can't get there on my own. That's a truth from God's Word in verse and in principle. Here this morning, you say this, you say, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm good enough, not because I'm in church, not because my parents are, not because my grandparents are, but because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've prayed and asked Christ into my heart. I know I'm on my way to heaven. If you could say that, would you slip your hand up and say, I know I'm saved this morning. You can put it right back down. Thank you. Here this morning, you say this, you say, listen, I'm not sure about my salvation. I don't know if there's been a time, I think I'm saved, I might be saved, or I hope I'm saved, but boy, it came down to saying, I know I'm saved. Man, I'm not sure. Hey, if you're like this morning, God says we can know. God doesn't want us to live uncertainly. No. He says that you may know that you have eternal life. I don't have to guess or hope. This morning you say, listen, I'm just not sure. I won't embarrass you, I promise you. If you just do this, if you be honest with God and raise your hand and say, pray for me this morning. Just raise your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not going to come to you or call on you at all, but just say, pray for me this morning. I'm just not sure about my salvation. And let me ask you this. If you're saved this morning, are you living according to God's Word? That includes, yes, those verses in there, but also includes the principles that you find in God's Word. Does that shape your life? I hope it will this week. As music plays, you come forward as the Lord spoke to you.
thanks so much for being here this morning. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock. Our teens will be giving testimonies. Looking forward to that. And let's do this. Brother Jason Barry, why don't you come up here and pray for us? They got a big trip planned this week. I'll pray for them and pray for Justin be going off, as well as some of our other ones off to college. And so pray for their families. Why don't you close and pray for them, bud?
Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. Just thank you for the good service this morning, Lord, and the good singing earlier. Father, we just thank you for each family that came this morning, Lord. Just pray that you be with them as they go out this week, Lord. Just give us safety, Lord. Give us wisdom as we go out to serve you. And Father, just thank you for the time this morning. Give us a good afternoon and bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.